Hey everyone, welcome back. You came back to Listener's Guide, a series from Pick Secret Records. Come on in. I'll tell you about how each season leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. If you want some tea, some crackers, I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. I can get you some coffee. A lot of coffee here in this town. You're listening to How Good American Songbook by Bob Cummins Jr. was made. And in this episode, we're talking about the song Know If You Do, a fan favorite among the band. We get into the symptoms of demoitis, how this song is a no-guitar zone, no guitars allowed. Get them out of here. And the proliferation of British accents in recording studios. And how we got international singer-songwriter, pop superstar Benjamin Spike Saunders involved from across the pond. And of course, we talk about the guilty pleasure band, Keane. This is a good one, folks. I hope you enjoy it.
I mean, there's definitely some Pet Sounds-isms in this song, I would say. Not necessarily in like composition, just the lyrical content of feeling in between adulthood, childhood, adolescence, trying to figure out what your place in the world is. As far as composition, I wrote the verse progression with the melody one day, and then I think I left it alone and came back the next day and worked out the rest of the tune. This is one of the ones that I had heavy demoitis about because I totally arranged it, like, you know, in the demo. And I feel like we had to work on it a little bit to get it to where I was feeling good about it. Killed it. Raymond, didn't you make up your drum part on the spot for this one?
It was the one I was least prepared for. It was the last one I demoed, and I think it was because you had sent me a reference track, and I had a hard time like separating, okay, how do I make this a reference and not just a rip-off, kind of, you know?
Right.
And I didn't, I guess I was just maybe unclear about like how we were going to track it too, because I think the demo had so many parts on it, like keyboard things going on, that I wasn't sure what you were going to play. Because for some of them, we just retrack drums.
And then yeah.
For some of them, you played in the room with me, which I think was the majority of them. We did them that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we were like, I don't know, let's just see what happens. And I sat down and played a few different things, a few different takes. Almost have it.
Yeah, I think you played it like four times, like not that many times.
Yeah.
For and it has that spontaneity, but it all sounds really purposeful.
It was fun listening back to it. It feels just very like in the moment. It feels off the cuff, but like in a good way that I think helped shape the song.
Absolutely.
I'm really proud of that one. It might be my favorite one, purely because I didn't labor over it.
Right. Yeah.
It turned out well, you know.
And it sounds like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because of that.
Is there any guitar on it?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any guitar on this. I don't think there's any bass on it either.
Right.
We used the Moog.
Yeah, that was all Moog bass. And we did that at the studio. We had it like kind of dialed in on one of my Moogs, but like just whatever the settings were on the Prodigy that's at the studio, like that was it. Then we did percussion and I think maybe vocals at my place.
Yes.
The vocals at your house because I was there.
We did the claps.
And we did the claps and you and I both sang on it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right, because it was set up and so we just did all the backing vocals. Don't be
Which you did a great job mixing, because it's like I can tell which one of us is which, but just barely.
And yeah,
it's pretty cool that it worked out that way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. It's like I think each of us harmonized ourselves, and then we did some like unison things.
There's a lot of vocals going on.
And but those were pretty faithful to the demo, I think, because there's that whole like round thing. I mean, not like literally around, but it feels like they're all kind of like answering each other in a way.
Right.
And I love the way that it resolves with the because I, you know, that like it sort of like brings it home with this.
Mm-hmm. Bring it on home.
Yeah, like I don't know
Spike.
Who. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Spike's vocals on it.
And then like sound a couple great. Months later, we got Benjamin Spike Saunders to send us some guest vocals.
Say no, don't be slow. Stay low, tell me where to go. Do what you're told.
And I really only asked him to do this one thing, which was like the spoken part in the break. But you know, I was like, you know, whatever else you want to do, feel free, and you know, we can pick and choose. And we kept all of it.
He did that insanely high falsetto,
and it was just like the coolest harmony.
Yeah.
For that, like it's like two words in the middle of a phrase.
Yeah.
Can I take it again?
And you want to talk about bringing it home? That was that part was so cool.
I don't know who that is.
He's some Brit, some redcoat.
He's some Brit. he just had that voice that I thought would work because I kept
so soft and like breathy. And
yeah,
it like blends so well.
Yeah, and I that started from me kind of having this joke of like, yeah, you have this British, like
say no,
yeah, thick British voice like say no, tell me where to go. And then I was like, honestly, I can't not hear the song without that. Like,
right,
maybe it would be interesting. And you know, once we hear it, we could cut it. Like I wasn't gonna like die for it, but
did you tell him to upsell the Brighton?
Yeah, I was like, just speak those phrases, and you know, he did it, and then he added all those other harmonies too, and it worked. But I was like, that's exactly what I want. It was like a low voice,
right,
saying these words. Just I don't know, like to add just some weird worldliness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, you know, both of you know that when I'm in a recording situation, I like immediately switch into this weird.
Oh like, yeah. It's brain good to disorder. Have some of that on tape. The Andy, I mean, I have it too.
Yeah.
Where like, dude, something about the studio just brings out the
it's just like the Beatles, and like that, yeah. That's my biggest Beatles influence thing, is that
their accents.
Yeah. Is that they're British and they're in the studio. That's the thing.
What if we took this guitar and made it backwards?
Yeah.
Jimmy, just reverse the tape.
I want to hear it, and then I give them accents that they don't have. Like I give them like Bristol accents, but they're like from Liverpool. Yeah, I think of like, could we maybe have this going before I play it? I want to hear it before I play it.
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
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 So did you know him before, or was it just...
I kind of, like, became Instagram friends with him just because I'm, like, such a fan of his band Cruelty. And, you know, then we kind of just, like, every now and then would DM about stupid shit. Or, you know, I would say, like, hey, you know, your solo album's good. I'm very happy for you. Congratulations. Right. Super happy to have him on this song.
Yeah.
When I sent him your music, because I was like, hey, would you do this? And he was like, oh yeah, I'd love to. And I was like, well, let me send you the track because I don't want to, you know, like oblige you to something.
Right.
And so I sent him the song, and he was about to fly out to play with Keir. And he was like, I'll listen to it on the plane. And he landed and like texted me right away and was like, yeah, it reminds me of Keane. And I was like, I guess, you know, sure, who knows, you know, who knows why he was thinking that. And he was like, just because there's piano. But it was a weird moment, like to be kind of woo-woo about it, because like there was this synchronicity, loosely, that you and I and your girlfriend had been talking. we had been talking about like guilty pleasure music, and... Keane,
huge guilty pleasure.
Yeah, you had mentioned Keane, and then he made this like passing joke about yourself sounding like Keane, and then we went on this kind of like bit about how Keane were the first people to add piano music, like to add piano to music. So that's when I knew it was like, oh yeah, you know, if he, you know, ends up wanting to do it, it's going to be cool somehow, because there was just this little moment of like, you know, things syncing up without anyone knowing that we were talking about that beforehand.
If anybody listening to this is curious about Keane, check out their song Bend and Break. It's a good one.
I got really into the album Under the Iron Sea. That was the one I liked.
I only know the one that has that like ugly album cover with like the music notes, and it just says Keane and big, you know what I'm talking about? It's the one with Somewhere Only We Know on it. It's got a Everybody's Changing, great tune. It's got some real 2000s production.
Oh yeah, like all that stuff. I found out about him from watching VH1 before I would go to school. In
they were on Jules Holland
in
right?
high school. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
or maybe they were on SNL. Maybe that's because my dad showed them to me when I was like 10. He's like, check this out.
I saw the video for Is It Any Wonder before I went to school one morning. I think I was maybe like a junior or something, and the electronic stuff in the beginning, that but you know, something about the song was really exciting to me, so I got really into it, and like now it feels like a guilty pleasure because it sounds so weird, like sounds so old. And
right, like that's the only thing that makes them a guilty pleasure, I guess, for me. But also, it's got a charm to it. Yeah. I mean, it obviously dates it, but yeah. I feel like in a give it a few years and it'll come back like the 80s did.
I also really love the way it transitions from the previous song.
Is Making the Cut before that one?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was Andy's idea for that, because both those songs are in the same key, so it's just
missing chord.
Also, like I was listening to it on a walk when you finally sent me the track list and the masters, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to the record. I think I was like looking at the cars passing by or something. I wasn't paying fully attention, and I was like, oh, did the song just change? What happened? And it's so seamless, and
yeah,
it's a great idea.
Yeah, and especially the way that Making the Cut ends, like how like kind of like whatever it is, you know, like it seems kind of flippant the way that it ends,
right?
Because it's just over and we don't give any space in between the tracks, which is sort of accidental because, like, you know, when you're going to master it, you might add some space, or when you're finishing a mix, you might add like some seconds after a track, or even before. And these were just like the straight up, like, here is the song as we did it,
right?
Do you want to add any space? And there it was just like boom boom, and it was like That's the way it's got to be. And that's some more Moog moments for that beginning, that real wobbly
right.
line. That
Yeah, the...
Yeah.
What was that on the grandmother?
Probably.
Yeah.
And did we do any of the baseball organ on it? That Hammond string organ? Yeah,
that's the strings at the end. That's all on that baseball organ.
Yeah. Yeah, so I call it the baseball organ, but it's like a Hammond string organ.
Right.
But it so easily gets into that space of like...
Yeah. Yeah, we had that upright on there too. That thing. That upright at Echo Lab is so great.
Yeah,
so it's sharp.
It's almost like attack.
Yeah.
Piano. Yeah, it there's so much going on in that song, but like when I think about talking about it, like it's pretty straightforward too, because we just did it.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to issue a couple statements. Firstly, I was incorrect about the intro synth line being from a Moog synthesizer. I looked back in the session files. It's actually a Roland JX3P. My apologies to the Roland Corporation. My apologies also extended to Benjamin Spike Saunders for insulting his culture and getting regions and dialects wrong in my gross attempts at a British accent. Subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Good American Songbook, track by track. And visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to find out more about what's next from the label and its artists. Thank you for listening, folks. Goodbye.